Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Rick, and praise team and choir. What an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. Again, I want to say happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. All right. Well, open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And Daryl asked me to preach, and I thought, oh, what am I going to preach on? Prayed about it. And then I went to VBS and learned Ephesians 2:10. And I said, that's what we're going to preach on. So if you learned your memory verse, then you are ready for the sermon today. Actually learned that memory verse before VBS. But anyways, yeah, that's where we're going to start at 2:10. And then we're going to work through 1 through 10. And we're going to go from there. We were in our worship planning meeting a few days ago. And as we're getting ready to walk out, Amber says, she's embarrassed now. She says, slow down. And I'm like, slow down. I'm thinking, am I talking? Do I talk too fast? What's going on? And so I was like, what are you talking about? She says, you're pacing. Like, slow down when you're pacing. It's hard for our cameras to keep up with you. So I'm gonna try to do that. You know, I don't love being the center of attention. I think I pace. So maybe I'll just find myself behind the stage in a much more comfortable place eventually. No, I'm teasing. The Lord has called me to preach the word of God, and I am happy and excited to be here. So we are here. Saved to serve is what where I want to go this morning. And so I hope we walk away this morning with a couple things. A, praising God for the salvation that he has given us and what he has done for us, right? And then B, recognizing the need to live a life of faithful service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay? So that's where we're going this morning. Oh, and there might be a couple references to a good baseball player that I really like, but that's just for free. All right, let's go. Ephesians 2:10. And so we're in Ephesians, and let me just say, Ephesians was written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. And oh, by the way, Aaron's left the room now, but Aaron and I were just in Ephesus last month, which is crazy to be in the ancient city of Ephesus. It was amazing to be there. Ephesians 2:10 is where I'm starting. All right, here we go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God worked out beforehand, that we should walk in them, right? This is the good works. This is the thrust. This is where I'm going. And you might have thought, oh, well, you're the missions pastor, right? So we expect that. Well, you're getting what you expected if you expected that, right? This is where we're going, but we need to know why we're going here, right? Good works, serving God, serving others. And what are good works? Throughout the Bible, we see good works. And when we see those, that is the working of God in the hearts and the lives of his people to bring about good for his glory and for his purpose. Purposes, right? They're demonstrated by the divine work within the believer. Conversely, the man who has no faith demonstrates his evil works by his separation from God. So do these good works earn us favor with God, or do they earn our salvation? No, a resounding no. How do we know that? Well, let's back up two verses. Let's read verses 8 and 9. Ben, you're going backwards. I know what I'm doing. All right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. All right. So we know that our salvation is by grace through faith, and this is not our own doing. This is one of the benchmark verses of our faith. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. We are saved because of his unmerited favor on us. He's the one who did the work. He came down from heaven, put on human flesh, lived a real human life, and died for us. And what did he do? What did he do for us? Let's back up a few more verses there. Ephesians 2:1-3. Let's read these. And it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. All right, this is who we were before Christ. We were spiritually dead in our sins. We followed the course of the world. The scriptures say we followed the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan. And you know, and Satan disguises himself. Most people who were following Satan would not say, I'm following Satan, but Satan lures us and we're tempted by our desires into sin. And without even realizing that it is Satan that is leading us to do that. He's crafty. He is out to deceive us. And then thirdly, we followed the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, this is not likely Satan, but rather an impersonal atmosphere. Like maybe you'd experience at a ball game, right? We're caught up in the atmosphere. And a good example of this, reference number one to baseball. Randy Johnson, pitcher for the Expos, the Mariners, the Diamondbacks. 2004, I had a chance to, I was in Atlanta for a seminary class. And this is a really, really good story, and I'm not going to tell it to its full. Ask me afterwards about this. Okay, but here's what I want to say about this, all right? And I'm pacing. Here's what I want to say. It was an amazing game, right? I get to see Randy Johnson pitch. Me and my buddy are sitting behind home plate. After three innings, the Braves had no runs, no hits, no errors. And then after... No runs, no hits. Yeah, the Diamondbacks had no errors. Anyways, we go on through the game. Randy Johnson's perfect through six, perfect through seven, perfect through seven and a half. And we're in the eighth inning, two outs, and then it's a 2-0 game. The Diamondbacks are beating the Braves. And then all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks get the third out of the eighth inning. And all 24,000 people in Turner Field, most of them Braves fans, became who? Randy Johnson fans. Oh, it was electric. Like everybody all of a sudden cheered Randy as he came off the field at the end of the eighth inning, knowing that he was one inning away from a perfect game, right? Okay, why are you telling this story? Well, I like baseball. But no, what I'm trying to tell this story for is before Christ, like we fall into the spirit, this impersonal atmosphere, right, that we get sucked up into. Braves fans got sucked up into being a Randy Johnson fan in that moment, right? All right. And an example of that might be a real-life spiritual example of that might be the Tampa Bay Rays a couple of weeks ago had five players that said, I'm convictionally as a Christian, I'm not going to wear a patch that celebrates a lifestyle that's against what the scriptures teach. It's against my faith. And I love everyone and I'm going to respect everyone and be kind, but I'm just not going to celebrate that, right? The spirit of the air, the spirit of the sons of disobedience, the spirit there would say, just roll with it, right? Just do it. Just wear the patch. But they did it. And that's something to be noted. So this is who we were. And then the results that we were objects of wrath. Now, the wrath of God can come on us a couple of different ways. First, it can be manifested in the direct cause-effect consequence of our sin. Maybe there's a sexual sin, and then there's a disease that follows. Or maybe we are violent, and we are, we hate others, and we treat them poorly. Well, then the world will hate us too, right? There's consequence for our sins. Others, secondly, there may be a divine judgment, right, for the wrath of God. But we know for sure Hebrews 9:27 says that there is the wrath that will come after death. Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. All right, so moving back through this, moving on, all right? Then Paul presents heartening news, right? Mercy restrains his wrath. Let's read verse 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, right? That's who we were, but God. And he is the hero. He is the one. Because of his great love for us, in which he showed his great love. Romans 5:8. 5:8 says, but while we're still sinners, God still loves us, right? He demonstrates his love in that way. While we were sinners, he died for us. Number one there. Number two, he made us alive with Christ. We become alive because of the love that he gave to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. New life is found in Christ. And then he raised us up with him in heaven. We have a secure place. Those who put their faith in him have a secure place in heaven. We have a hope. And we have a seat at the table. The significance of being seated with Christ in the heavenlies is much the same as being seated at the head table of a banquet where there may be many important people. It is a privilege and honor, and it marks you as one of the important people. We will be important in heaven, and this is what God has done for us. Now, let's read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, just as they are written. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us that we should be faithful and walk in them. All right, this morning I want to give you 4 points on being saved to serve, right? All right, number one, you were created to serve God. You were created to serve God, all right? Now, we don't have to look very far to see the mystery and the creativity that God had in creation. So we look as small down in the parts of our DNA, and then we look as far out into the galaxies, we see God's creativity in the way he made the world, right? He did. You know, I think of that unique animal that we see overseas in the desert, the camel. And this the camel is an amazing creature, right? It's got these humps on its back that store fat. Right? And it can go a week or so without drinking water. Its hooves are so that it can walk through sand like, it's like I'm walking here on the stage, right? That's the way it's made. And then it can go without water, and it burns the fat in the humps for energy and for water to stay hydrated. Like, this is amazing part of how God created that animal, the camel, to be used for its purposes, right? And in the same way, you were created to serve God. Well, listen to follow with me with these scriptures here. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. Okay? And no, you're not necessarily a prophet, right? And you're not Jeremiah, but do you see God's purpose and his plan? Okay, before Jeremiah was born, he set him apart for a work. God has done that for us. Isaiah 49:5 says, and now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and that Israel might be gathered to him, right? And he says, he who formed me from the womb to what? To be his servant. So in this creation, in this birth of Isaiah, God had a plan that he would serve him. God created you to serve him. Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God has a plan for your life, and he created you to serve him. Number two, you were saved. You were saved to serve God, all right? Saved to serve God, which is also the title of the sermon, but anyways, I'm new here. All right, so you were saved to serve God. All right, the word workmanship, we are his workmanship, right? We are the working of the Almighty God. It's a result of artistic skill and craftsmanship, right? If we could earn salvation by our own good works, we would not be a work of God, but a work of our own selves, right? We are his workmanship. And what did he do? He saved us. And we just read about that in the first part of Ephesians, right? I think about the artistic, just the idea of creating, crafting, building, pitching a perfect game, right? Randy Johnson. I like baseball. Randy Johnson, 9 innings, no hits, no base runners allowed, 13 strikeouts, 117 pitches, 87 of those were strikes, right? Masterful. That was the 17th perfect game ever thrown in the modern era. And that's a pretty rare thing, right? He was working his craft. And in the same way, God has crafted and he has saved you to serve him. I think about that. He did the work to save us. This idea of salvation. Randy Johnson pitched for the Montreal Expos, and early in his career, he was traded. So read about this. This is kind of a lopsided trade. I have a purpose in this, okay? Randy Johnson was traded by the Expos with Brian Holman and Gene Harris for Mark Langston and Mike Campbell, right? Oops. That was kind of a lopsided trade, right? I mean, Mark Langston was he was a good pitcher in the major leagues, but Randy Johnson won 5 Cy Young Awards, right? He made 10 All-Star appearances. He won a World Series. He finished 2nd all-time in strikeouts. He pitched a perfect game. Did I mention that I was at that perfect game? Can't remember. Sometimes I forget to tell people. So anyways, it was a lopsided trade, right? The Expos probably want that one back. Well, think about what the Lord has done for us to save us, right? It's a pretty lopsided trade. Romans 8:3. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he, God, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh bore the condemnation? His. Whose sins were being condemned? Ours. This is the great exchange. This is the great trade, right? Here, listen to it again in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who became sin? Jesus. Who became righteous? We did. That's a much better trade, right, than what the Expos got many years ago. I jest. But here's the point. He saved us, and we give our life to him, right? There it is. We've put our faith in him. He saves us. You were saved to serve God. Number three, you were, let me say this first. You know, would you ever think about why didn't God just take us when we come to faith in God? Why didn't he just take us right there, right? Just take us to heaven. We're saved. We go to heaven right then. No, because you were saved for a purpose, right? To serve him so that others may know him. Number three, you are called to serve God. In the scriptures, calling and saving are, being called and saved are synonymous, right? 2 Timothy 1:9, he saved us and called us. to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He saved us and called us, right? Saved and called. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? We are chosen, we are a people for his own possession, right? He has saved us and called us, and he leads us to serve him. Calling and serving are one and the same. Every Christian has an important role in the local church. If you are saved, you are called. And where's your ministry purpose? Where is it? You know, I was thinking about that, and maybe it's like, I was thinking back over some guys in my life who have influenced me and just served, and I could list 30 probably. But Mr. Bill Cox was from our former church that we came here from, and Bill's 85 probably. I love him. He's a great guy, and I need to call him. Hold me accountable to call Bill this week. Bill is just a special guy. He loves the Lord, a deacon, very involved in the church. And he actually does magic illusions. And he's entertained thousands of people literally doing that, and pointing people to Christ. He likes, though, to serve in the background just as much. Well, he'll serve, he'll be in the kitchen, whatever event is going on. He'll be preparing the food, getting ready and serving, meeting needs. I think of Tim McCarley, who was my Sunday school teacher, my 11th and 12th grade year, and that he took a knucklehead boy under his wing, and we just worked out together, right? We worked out together. And then but in doing so, he pointed me to Christ, and he was always talking about Jesus and really shaped who I have grown to be, right? Or maybe I love hearing our staff. You know, our staff, I love hearing them talk about you, talk about our church and how you guys serve so well. I mean, a couple weeks ago at VBS, over 200, Rick can probably tell me the exact number, over 200 volunteers served in our VBS ministry. And it was incredible, right? I was hearing this week our staff talk about a lady in our preschool ministry who comes and preps and serves weekend, been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years, right? And I know that there are men and women who do this. And I know a man in our church who started a neighborhood Bible study, right? Because he wants to see people come to Christ, and he wants to disciple other men. This is who we are. And just recently, as I see Rain over here, I've had a new influx of greeters in our First Impressions ministry. Maybe you've noticed that, right? But these are all different ways that we can serve the Lord. Last month, I spent some time in Central Asia with some of our cross-cultural workers who, they don't want to be put on a pedestal, right? They just want to be faithful to serve the Lord, be faithful to what God has called them to do. So, we are all called to serve. Fourthly, you are commanded. You are commanded to serve God. Jesus was unmistakable when describing the great in the kingdom of God. He says this in Matthew chapter 20. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Spiritual maturity and Bible study is not an end to itself, right? Maturity is for ministry, that we can get in, plugged in, and serve. We are commanded to serve the Lord. All right, so what do we do with this, right? Like, we know that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared for us to do, that we should walk in them, right? What do we do with this? Well, first I want to encourage you, because a lot of you guys are serving and serving really well. Way to go. Press on. Let's go. And for others, hey, let's pray. Where does God want me to plug in and serve? How can I go about walking in those good works the Lord has put before me? So let's pray, right? Knowing that you were called, let us pray. And number two, I want to tell you just to come by the Mission Center, right? And talk to Rain or myself or other pastors on staff. Quickly, briefly, what's our serve strategy in the church? What does that look like? First, we have our I serve, right? And this is where we say, I want to serve in the church. Put me where I need to serve. Help me get there. And you can go to Rain and he can get you plugged in the moving in the right direction. Whether that's the preschool, the college ministry, first impressions, our tech team, leading a life group, right? God wants us to be involved in the ministries of the church. I serve. Secondly, as I go, God has given you a path that you walk every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, right? And as you go to your jobs, to the places that you play, to your house and back, how are you being faithful to the Great Commission? Well, maybe you need to meet your neighbors. Maybe you would start a neighborhood Bible study. Maybe you want to host a neighbor night, and we want to help you with that as I go. Or maybe you want to plug into one of our local ministry partners because they need volunteers, right? And so you go and say, I'm going to serve a year with the Downtown Rescue Mission. I want to serve for a year with the Boys and Girls Club. Or I want to serve for a year. I want to help this public school in whatever way, or this whatever school, right? Identify a local partner as you go that you can serve in. And then the third part of our mission strategy is our go teams. Sign up for a go team and go serve the Lord on mission with him, right? July 1st, Downtown Rescue Mission. We've got a great opportunity to work with folks downtown. Sign up. August 27th, serve Huntsville. We're going to blitz our city, and we're going to serve our city. You'll hear more about that. Join a go team, or you can join one of our overseas go teams and be a part of what the Lord is doing. You say, I can't go build a house. I can't do a medical clinic. You know, when I was in Central Asia and I was talking with Jenny Liu, she said, Ben, we're so encouraged that you came to see us here. And it just means so much. And we want folks from Whitesburg to come. We want them to come. And they need to know that when they come, they can't build or do this or that. But we want them to come alongside us, and we want them to encourage us. That's what we need. And we want them to help us build relationships and plug into the ministries that we have going on. I think most of us in here can serve by encouraging, right? So I came across this this quote from C.S. Lewis as we come to a close. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world, right? You were made for another world. You were made, created, saved to serve. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can serve with passion and vigor so that more may know him. We are created to serve, saved to serve, called to serve, commanded to serve. You know, perhaps, just maybe, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live, right? Jesus calls us to lay down our lives, to follow him, to serve. You were saved to serve God. We enter a time response now, and our pastors are going to be down front, and I want to invite you as you ponder the Word of God and what He has done for you. Maybe your response is, I want to know Jesus. I want to put my faith in the one who died for me, and I want that new life in Him. Maybe your response is, I just want to come pray. And there's pastors here, you come pray, and maybe you have another decision. The altar will be open. Maybe you're ready to serve, and we want to encourage you to do that.